money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
We are in the studio together, just you and me today.
Yeah.
I always like this show. You probably, if you're joining us for the first time, you wouldn't know that I say this almost every time. You and I are in the studio together, just the two of us. How much I enjoy just you and I having the conversation. I thoroughly enjoy our guests as well.
I'm glad we've been together 35 years.
And it's cool to talk to you.
I'm glad you still like talking to me and being with me. This is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And
thank you.
Get to talk about what has become one of our favorite topics, money.
I don't know if it's, you know, that's a great question. Is it a favorite topic or is it just something we talk about because that's what we talk about?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if it's a favorite topic.
So little insert.
Jesus is a favorite topic of mine to talk about.
Absolutely.
So, thank
We're allowed to have more than one favorite topic.
All right.
Yes. Little insert into our world though. Our daughter Serena put a poster on our door to the bedroom that says about work in here or something like that.
No, past this point. Past Do this not point. Talk about work.
So, you know, when your 13-year-old kind of puts that out there and says, okay, we have to have a safe place where you're not talking about it. So we really appreciate that.
I don't know if that's actually what we do, but anyway.
Well, it does remind me.
Fair enough.
Welcome to the show. This is the show where Dave and Reb, that's you and me, talk about the hard issues around money. Today's show is sponsored by NotMine.ca or Financial Discipleship Canada, to be more exact, whose website is NotMine.ca. Please go check out the website, notmine.ca. There's tons of resources there. There's all kinds of continuing conversations about money, God, the relationship between the two, and some great resources. A little plug, Reb's book is there. It's one of the places.
Can I just say that we recently got the audiobook out there?
Yes.
So you should be able to find it on Audible, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Play, Barnes & Noble.
All the places you find your audio books.
My book is there. And it's the second edition that was re-released in the fall in November. So you can get your copy. There is new material in it. There are some study questions. So you'll want to pick up that copy. And please let me know if you are wanting to do it in a book club or are doing it at a book club. A study of sorts. If you're local or even if you're not and you would love to have me answer some of your group's questions, I would love to pop in and see you and hear what you have to say about it. So
the book's called Cultivating Trust, Finding God's Hope and Freedom in Your Finances. And of course, Reb's going to put that in the show notes. So you can find the link, both audio and in the book and study format. So big plug for your book, but love it. So much fun hearing the feedback. And thank you for all of you that have just let us know that you read the book or that you're doing it with a study and that you're just learning more about what it means to trust God in the area of finance. And we're all on that journey together.
Right.
Reb and I, have often said, we don't have it all figured out. We probably just have way more questions. So we're asking those questions of each other. We're asking those questions of our guests, and we have a platform to be able to do that. So,
thank you for journeying with us as we discover some of the answers or maybe still are suspended with the mystery of how God does his work in our lives. So today we want to have a mortgage talk. And last year we did two shows, one in February. I think one was later midsummer or beginning of summer, where you answered questions about mortgages and such. I want to pick your brain a little bit today about what you do, why a mortgage broker is important, why a mortgage agent is important, why you do what you do and how you do it, and maybe even some of the whys, so that people will understand what it is that what service they will get when they call a mortgage agent, specifically you at More Than Enough. But before we go into dig through some of those questions and get your perspective, the scriptures say that wise counsel is really good to have. Sometimes we just want to go it alone. Sometimes we want to make a decision and kind of hide it from other people. But really bringing a big decision, like a home purchase, yeah. I will just say, it's the biggest financial commitment we're making in our lives, I believe. Mm-hmm. And we want some wise counsel around that. We want some good question asking. We want some discovery. We want to hear others' perspectives. And scriptures has a whole bunch of places where it says, go get wise counsel. There was one that says, I don't know if I have the reference for this one actually printed out. Oh, there, Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there's victory. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. And so there are many others about that, but I've always had an issue with some of these verses because I'm like, well, wise counsel is good, but how do you know you're getting wise counsel? So if I know I just want to buy a house and you know, I'll go only maybe go talk to people who own houses, but maybe it's helpful to talk to some people who've only rented for their lives and learn from them why they've never gone and gotten a mortgage before. Maybe I need to discover a whole bunch of facets of an issue. So when someone comes to you, Dave, saying like I get those calls sometimes, our mortgage is renewing, or I'm a first time home buyer, I don't know anything. What's going to happen when they come to a mortgage agent like yourself?
Well, there's a couple of things that we want to set the stage. So first off, you mentioned, yes, this is a large, long-term financial decision. And that in and of itself means that it should be entered into, and I'll say, with the respect that the decision warrants, right? So, you know, if I'm going to buy a chocolate bar, it costs me $1.50, not really going to have a long-term impact other than maybe my health. But, you know, not
you don't need to have wise counsel financially over the purchase of the chocolate bar.
I don't think you need a whole lot of counselors on that. You just go and do it. When you think about it, we're talking multiple years that you're going to be paying for a mortgage or paying for a house. You're talking about, you know, there's the whole process of actually vetting a house, which is more the real estate agent and maybe talking to your parents and other counselors. This is a big decision. And so just entering into the whole process with the respect that the process demands. And in this case, I often say speed does kill. And that doesn't mean you can't move quickly, but it means doing a lot of the setup ahead of time, figuring out your numbers, knowing what your cash flow is. If you're a young couple, that first-time home buyer, then are you going to have kids? If you are we making a decision on this house because based on a dual income situation, which you're in now, potentially, or are you going to make that decision based on a single family income? Because the goal is we have two jobs now, but I'd like to be home with the kids when we start having the kids, and that might be 5 years from now. We want to consider some of these things right here and go through a process. And that's really what I do as a mortgage agent is help you to walk through these longer term perspectives as a starting point and saying, yes, I mean, obviously the how much you can qualify for and what you can afford and what the interest rates are and all of those other things are important, but they are actually a little bit further down in the process. The beginning process is really thinking through what kind of lifestyle do you or you as a couple want to create? And is that home-centric? is it wrapped around the size or the what your home is, or is it more like, well, we actually would like to be out and about, maybe do some more traveling. We like traveling again. Then some of these decisions, even though the outside pressure says, oh, you should always own a home. Oh, and there may be counselors who will have that advice, mm-hmm. and listening to those counselors and then coming back to if you're a couple, working through what is the right decision for us. And that does mean maybe listening to somebody who, you know, mm-hmm. didn't do it right and had their house foreclosed on them. Well, that's probably a story actually you might want to hear, because mm-hmm. we can learn from that. And then also, you know, looking at someone who has done well and paid off their mortgage in relatively short time. How did you do that? And maybe that's an important thing for you to be able to do that. And so that's the first step in the process, is that it's not actually the nuts and bolts. It's really knowing what kind of life mm-hmm. do you want to create with the resources that you have. And how does this big thing, this big purchase of a house, how is that going to impact that? And really starting from that perspective. So as a mortgage agent, that's really where I start. And again, it sounds really technical, but often it's just like, hey, what are your plans for the next 5 to 10 years? Like, have you thought through that? Are you going to have kids? Are you not going to have kids? Or do you have kids already? Again, just going through some of those questions as we start the process of actually seeing what, in the end, what do you qualify for? And what can you afford? Because sometimes those are two different things.
So in a recent conversation we've had with Tim Jenkins, one thing that jumped out at me, he said, what makes our financial management a bit easier is having a long-term mm-hmm. goal perspective. And it's just reminding me of that, like, what do we want long-term? What life are we building? I can't say that anyone asked us that question or that we asked ourselves mm-hmm. that when we bought our first home. We didn't have that experience. But
we've asked it since.
But we have asked it since. But just having that perspective, no matter where you're at in the journey of home ownership, before, mid, or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe after, because eventually, you know, as we've seen our aging parents, you grow out of your house and then you have to decide next steps mm-hmm. for that part of your life. But just having that long-term perspective brings clarity to the decision around a mortgage today. Mm-hmm. Now, that's very interesting.
One of the things that I do remember in our story was when we moved from our first home, which was, you know, we were at the time, we had four kids. It's about a 700 square foot home, beautiful home, big backyard. We really felt that the Lord had landed us there when we had one, and then we had a few more. And so we were looking to pivot to this bigger house. The Lord led us. That's a whole story in itself. But I remember you and I intentionally saying to the mortgage agent that helped us, we want to keep our mortgage payment the same because we're going from a 700 square foot home to a 2700 square foot home. And we knew what our finances are. We knew what we could afford. We'd been living that way already in our previous home. And we really said, like, we don't know. We know property taxes are going to be more. We don't know what heat and hydro are going to be. We don't know what the increased expenses are. So that was one clear, we want to make sure that the mortgage we get, that we can keep the payments the same as what we're making now, because we're anticipating all these other ones. And I think that's, one of the decisions that really put us financially in a place of, okay, we can do that. We're managing some of these other ones. I can't imagine. And that was the counselor part that we had just kind of said, okay, we know what our finances are. So with this change, we better make sure that we at least control that part of it.
And boy, was God gracious to us. I'm just thinking about all these aspects that we decisions we made, and we didn't always know what decision we were making, and that it was a good one, because we and it's God's grace to us, really. I'm sitting here thinking that this morning, but now you are one of those people who can give some wise counsel. So what, I don't know if we want to talk about this. Like, people call and say, well, I just want, guess what they're going to say? I just kind of want, I wish I had feedback this morning from the audience. What do you think people say when they call Dave? I just want the best rate.
Sure. Yeah.
And what do you say to that?
We all want the best rate. So like, you know, that's, it really is. Of course we all want the best rate. And but the problem is, and here's the difficulty is that the best rate that you can get may not be the same rate as your friend or neighbor or colleague can get. And that's because you have a different borrowing profile than your friend or neighbor. Different mortgage products have different rates. And let me give you the really easy example. If you are getting a 5-year fixed mortgage, it is a different rate than a 3-year fixed mortgage. They're just different. The product offering is different, and so the rate is different. Now, you might have exactly the same borrowing profile as your neighbor, and they go, oh, I got to name the rate. And you go, oh, man, I'm going to go see Dave and see if I can get that rate. What you didn't ask them was that a 5-year or a 3-year? Right. And so you come to me and say, Dave, I want that rate that he got. And I'm like, well, I don't know. What does he get? Like, what product is he getting? What is how long is the term? Is it an open term or a closed term?
So what we hear sometimes from advertising from lending institutions is come in, apply now, click the button. You'll find out in 20 minutes if you can get that.
Sometimes 60 seconds.
60 so, seconds. Yeah. Oh, we'll get that for you. But it's not as simple as it appears all the time. Mm-hmm. Because as you just said, there are nuances to that rate, mm-hmm. why a person can get it. And we sometimes hear people just say, well, I can go to the bank and get this. And then you're like, okay, well then go to the bank and go
and
get it.
And that may be true.
And right? it might be true. But then sometimes people come back and say, oh, that actually wasn't what we thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Because the product is maybe, as you say, when you say mortgage product, what does that basically mean? The kind of package of lending you get?
So, you know, again, think of your mortgage as, you know, it's in the same genre as say a pair of shoes. So if I go into a shoe store, I might see 150 different kinds of shoes, all with different prices, but the same size. So I can go into the shoe store and I'm not complaining that, oh, this shoe is $100 and this shoe is $50, but they both fit my feet. So why the difference? Right. So we understand that from a product standpoint.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
We don't do that with a mortgage. We think, okay, well, every mortgage is the same and every bank offers exactly the same mortgages and features and color and every bank. And by the way, my borrowing profile, because I have a size 9 borrowing profile, is the same as your borrowing profile because you have a size 9 borrowing profile, which is not true. Again, I can't just look at you, Rebecca, and say, oh, here's your borrowing profile. But I can look at you and say, hey, you got the same size feet as me, right? So,
yes.
You know, in that way, thinking of the mortgage product as a product that, you know, we are going to fit your borrowing profile into whichever bank. And again, this is the advantage we have as a broker. I have access to about 35 different banks. So all of those banks have multiple mortgage products. And so I'm going to fit your borrowing profile with their lending profile within the products that they get. And so sometimes there'll be 2 or 3 banks that will, in a sense, have very comparable products and you fit them all. Well, then you get a choice. Do you want to go with this bank or that bank? Do you want to go with it? Again, what color do you want? But essentially, it's the same product.
And
right?
You advise on those things.
And so we help you. We present that. We go, okay, here's the options. And the other part of this is as a broker, I am matching your borrowing profile up with those banks. If you were to do it yourself, then you would have to visit all those banks, go through the application process with all of those banks. You would have to get experience on all the nuances that are make each bank unique and some of the product offerings that they have that are here now and gone tomorrow and these kind of things. So that's my job as a broker, is actually to know all of that. So you come to me and then essentially together, we go out and we go shopping. Now I do all the work behind the scenes, so it's not like you travel along with me, but I match up your borrowing profile with the bank. And then we come back and we present it and say, hey, okay, here's a bank or here's two banks. To be honest, more often than not, there are a number of banks that we can match up. And so then we look at those finer details. How much extra can you put down on the mortgage? You know, what is their online profile? Like, do they have one or not? Not every bank has one. And what's the convenience for you?
So I have two thoughts in my head going around. So I want to address them. One is when a person goes to their bank,
right,
they don't have access though to all 35. So that is one. If that is of interest to people who are listening, if you want a variety, if you want to, you know, have a bigger pond to fish in than your one local bank, because they aren't an RBC agent isn't going to be looking at TD or Scotia Bank. They're going to be looking in their own RBC pool.
Yeah. To stick with the shoe metaphor.
Yeah.
If I really like Nike, like I like the brand.
Well, let's do Doc Martens. I like Doc Martens.
Okay, you like Doc Martens.
I'm always going to get a pair of.
So you're going to go to the Doc Martens store, and you will be serviced well at Doc Martens because you are. Because
I like the product, I like the shoe, and that's great. Yes.
I don't know what the comparison with Doc Martens is, which is why I was going to use Nike. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But you don't go to a Nike store to shop for your Doc Martens, but you can get shoes and boots in the same in both stores.
Yes.
And this is. So as a broker, essentially, and again, this is the other part, is I really do get to work for you. I get to give you all the information. And to be honest, I don't care if you like Nikes or you like Doc Martens. I don't even care if they look good on you or not. If the product is the one that meets your need and your preference, then we'll go with that. Now, I might educate you a little bit on some of the nuances, and maybe I might recommend a different product or a different bank because you did not know that Adidas made those kind of shoes. And you're like, oh, or hmm. So, you know, again, not taking that shoe metaphor too much, but sticking to the idea that different banks have different products and you're not doing this every day. You're doing this once every 5 years. How many houses do you buy, right? And so
it's interesting. Yeah.
I've helped 150 people in the last year buy houses. So I've done this 150 times just in the last year. And so I have a little bit more experience on what are the things that are available out. Again, this is my job.
Right.
And if you ever talk to a really passionate shoe salesman, they will know all about all the different shoes that are out there and why theirs are the best and all of that. It's exactly the same here. But I get to work for you. I don't work for any one bank. I don't work for any one financial institution. And the good thing about that is that I actually do get my pay from placing a mortgage with those.
I was just going to ask you, because what happens we've seen this happen before. People say, well, how do you get paid? Mm-hmm. The pay comes from the commission off of the actual them doing the deal with you through that, the lending institution, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So if you come to a mortgage broker and you decide not to go with that person in the end, that actually means the mortgage agent, in your case, you've spent 10 hours doing the job. And then in the end,
We don't get paid until the mortgage funds.
Right. So you wouldn't get paid at all.
So there's a couple of things there, right? So number one, as a mortgage agent, you know, we are licensed, we are professionals, we have to follow continuing education courses. This is our career as a mortgage agent. If you walk into the bank, more often than not, you are going to get the entry level employee. And I'm not saying this, I'm saying this a little bit generally, but generally the advisors that you meet, they're trained in financial advising. They're not trained in mortgages at most of the financial institutions where you can go in. And so getting some of that advice and getting some of that, you actually have to go to the next level. The underwriting centers that are in behind the scenes, those are the people that are actually doing the work. And so filtering through that, it can be sometimes challenging. That's been probably one of my biggest feedbacks is I went to the bank. I didn't feel like the person that I was talking to really knew what was kind of happening or what my desires were. And that's probably true because they're not trained as much as we are in terms of how we do what we do. The second thing is that, you know, they work for the bank. Their interest is for the bank. They actually are, you know, whether you fund with them or not, they're still getting paid at the end of the day. And so, you know, for us as brokers, we want the best for you. We want you to, in fact, that's how we make our business. We want you to refer your friends, your sons, your daughters, and introduce us to them so that we can serve them in the same way that we've served you.
Mm-hmm. So just we wanted to talk about all of this today. There's way more questions that I have, but just do you like what you do?
I really do. Helping people make one of the largest investment decisions of their life and helping to navigate that and setting them on a course that I know for the long term, they are going to be financially healthy. It is the single biggest line item that you make in your finances, and helping people to make that in a way that helps them create the life that they want to live. Yeah, it's certainly satisfying. I know for my colleagues, that's why we do what we do.
And you can see a lot of joy happening, and you can also bring a lot of peace in this time. So thanks for answering our questions, my questions. Thank you for joining us. I'm just going to pray us out for a minute. And thank you, Father, for the wise counsel you give through men and women in our lives. And we just ask for wisdom for people who are navigating their mortgages, and especially in this economic climate. Thank you that you are our greatest counsel and wisdom bringer. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thanks for asking, Reb. Again, if you have questions, you can certainly reach out. MoreThanEnough.ca is the website. You can find the information there. You can call the office, and Reb might even answer the phone some of the time. And of course, you join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.